Hi, this is Barry Nelson. Comedian Martha Ray will be our guest in just a few minutes, and later on, Al Capp talks about government spending. Of course, since we have government by the people, that really means money we're all spending to run our country. We also will share our more than $300 billion debt figured out per person. That means each of us owes $1,500. Waiter, separate checks, please. Well, now that I've done my share of spreading sunshine and happiness, here's Peter Nero with Help. A Monitor Sports Bulletin. Ken Miles and Lloyd Ruby drove a Mark II Ford prototype to victory today in the first 24-hour Daytona Continental Auto Race.
If you can't say anything nice about your present cigarette, come on over to the L&M side, just for the taste of it.
Come on over to the L&M side. Come on over for the taste of it. Come on over. You'll be glad you did. Come on over to the L&M side.
Come on over to the L&M side, just for the taste of it.
Martha Ray broke into show business at the age of 3. She was part of a family circus act until she was 16, and then she went out on her own, and she's been performing with rare enthusiasm ever since. Wherever there's an audience, she's there. Nightclubs, movies, television, and most recently, an unusual and lengthy tour of Vietnam. When she returned from entertaining the troops, Roy Neal interviewed her in Los Angeles.
Miss Ray, how was your trip?
Well, it was really something absolutely wonderful. I think it's one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to me in my whole life. I had been over there this trip 4 months, and the trip before them was 2 months. And I just can't tell you what a wonderful thrill and what a great privilege it was to be with all the men over there.
Any unusual happenings while the shows were going on that come to mind?
Well, yes. The snipers sort of interrupted now and then, you know, but...
The snipers? You mean the Viet Cong snipers?
Yes, indeed. Oh, yes. We were under fire several times. And, but with all the protection I had over there, I wasn't too scared. Not outright, anyway. Inside, I mean, I couldn't move. I was just standing still, trying to sing my songs, and all of a sudden I realized my voice was gone. That was the fright.
What kind of routines did the men like the best? What kind of routines did you entertain them with?
Well, I gave them a variety. All different songs they liked, and comedy, and they liked sentimental songs, too, very much. Their favorite, incidentally, is I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
I would have thought that would be the favorite of San Franciscans, but you mean Easterners liked it, too?
Yes. It doesn't matter where the boy's from. It just seems like that's the last place he sees in the United States when he goes over there, and the first place he sees when he comes back, so it's home to all of them.
Miss Ray, in doing the shows with the GIs, do you try to incorporate, call it GI humor, the local brand?
Well, yes. It's quite amazing, Roy, the American sense of humor. And the boys over there certainly have a great sense of humor. I mean, they'll be in a lot of things, you know, serious things will be happening, but they always come back with a little funny saying or this and that, like they're saying now we'd be riding along the streets of Saigon in a jeep or a truck or something. They'd holler and say, all right, will the kid with the real grenade stand up? And they get a kick out of that, which is, you know, you've read it's actually happened. Or I used to look at them and say, I know I'm not pretty, but they're round, meaning my eyes, because as I said before, they call all the American women round eyes. And some of the places I was in, they haven't seen an American woman or a white woman for a year to 2 years. So it's quite a wonderful feeling, and we have a lot of jokes about that. Like I say, well, I'm the den of the boondocks, you know, and that I'll have to do until the young ones come over and this and that. And they kid all about those things. But it's amazing their morale and their sense of humor. It's just absolutely wonderful. It's something really to be proud of.
When you're working with troops like that, Ms. Ray, are you working with them or just talking to them and singing to them? How does it work on a very personal plane for you?
Well, I do this little show. You know, I have a guitar player myself, and we sing all the songs and tell the jokes and that. Then afterwards, the most important part is mixing with the men, playing cards with them, talking to them, getting close to them, you know, real right down to earth, sitting right next to all these fellas. And they have an awful lot they like to talk about, questions they like to ask about home and everything, especially about the demonstrators. They're pretty much upset about those. And I just tell them not to pay any attention to them because it's just a small minority of kooks, you know, and they couldn't possibly shine their boots over there. And that makes them feel a little better. Of course, this drive with the Americans sending over cards for Christmas and the cookies and everything, that was one of the biggest morale lifters they've ever had. It's quite wonderful. But the most important thing, more than a show, is to get right down into the split trenches or on the ground or in a chopper or up in the air in a 123 or anything, just so long you're right with the men themselves, even coming close to jumping with them. I almost did, but didn't have to, thank goodness.
Usually from a trip like this, you bring back certain memories that you know just won't go away forever. Have you brought any special memories back from this trip?
Unfortunately, there are quite a lot of wonderful things and exciting things that did happen, but because of military security, we just aren't allowed to mention them, you see. They'll be able to come out in due time, but we just can't talk about it right now.
Which pretty well handicaps you when you come to tell the story of what happened in Vietnam.
It sure does. It's quite exciting over there with the special forces. They're the very famous Green Beret, you know. They made me an honorary member there. And, of course, I arrived home here with one of their tiger suits on, the Green Beret, which I was very proud of. And it's amazing the fantastic job those men are doing. And I think everything they're doing hasn't been out in the papers as yet. But it will be out very shortly, I hope, because it's unbelievable what these men are doing.
We've been talking with Martha Ray about her recent experiences in Vietnam. This is Roy Neal, NBC News, Los Angeles, for Monitor.
And indeed, our hats are off to Martha Ray, who did 4 to 8 shows a day over there in the Vietnam, where the entertainment is much needed. And we'll hear a song about the Green Berets, the men of the Army's special forces that Martha Ray spoke of, in just 1 minute, here on the Monitor Beacon. One of the most unusual songs of recent times is the Ballad of the Green Berets, and Now a bestseller, it's the work of a combat veteran of the war in Vietnam, Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler. Sergeant Sadler says he prefers fighting to singing, but he's found that singing pays better. And because he now is making money on songs about his experience and those of his buddies, he's contributing a large percentage of his earnings from the record to a fund to help educate the children of those soldiers who did not live to come home from Vietnam. Here is the Ballad of the Green Berets by Sergeant Barry Sadler.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wing upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best.
Temperature rising? Pulse pounding? Uh-huh. Diagnosis? Obvious. You've got swing fever. You just can't wait till spring to buy an Olds. Remedy? A new 88 by Oldsmobile. And there are 11 easy-to-take 88s. Jetstars, Dynamics, and Deltas. All Toronado-inspired. See your Olds dealer and step out front in a rocket-action Olds. You'll see that when it does come, spring will be a little great this year.
Got the fever, swing fever, swinging too old.
Love, sweet love. It's the the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone.
Mess with what the world needs now is love. Well, sorry, world, what we got is Al Capp. And his specialty isn't exactly love, it's something else the world needs, though, and that's a satirical look at our life and times. Today, our expert on nothing with opinions on everything takes off on government spending. Here is Al Capp.
Now, the trouble is that the government tells us exactly how much taxes we must pay, but they never tell us exactly what they spend it on. A vague word like defense doesn't explain much. You try a vague word like that on the government to explain your expenses and see how far you'll get. You'll get just about as far as Atlanta or Ossining. It isn't that the government won't tell us how they spend their defense money because of military secrecy. It's really because they're embarrassed. For instance, take this atomic installation they just had to have another billion for. You can tell from that sum alone it's not a very important one. No more than 15,000 technicians are employed there. And you'd have thought they could make do with the billion they started with a few months ago, but let's look into it. 15,000 guys working with atomic materials must be constantly checked, and so the government employs 3,200 psychiatrists to listen to everything they say. Now, if there's one group which is emotionally unstable, it's psychiatrists, and when you have 3,200 of them who know every atomic secret those 15,000 blabbermouths are spilling to them from those couches, you've got a security problem. You've got a problem that needs every FBI man J. Edgar Hoover can spare. And so they had to pull all the FBI men out of 14 states. And when they did, the entire communist parties of all those 14 states suddenly vanished. Well, it turned out that all those communist parties were made up entirely of FBI infiltrators, and the proof of the greatness of the FBI is that not one of those infiltrators knew the guys he was sending home reports on were infiltrators sending home reports on him. Actually, one of the biggest expenses of the FBI is paying dues to the Communist Party. Now, I hope this helps you all understand where your taxes go. They're murderous. But in what other country can you have so many laughs for your money? And this is Al, the smiling taxpayer Cap, speaking to you on NBC's Monitor.
Al Cap, the talking cartoonist who has things all his own way in Dogpatch, where his Labner characters live, is heard every weekend here on Monitor. Thank you. Leahy and the orchestra with a number called Slinky. Monitor is with you on NBC radio stations across the country. In Casper, Wyoming, we're heard on KTWO. And if you're hearing this in your car, here's a word especially for you from the National Automobile Dealers Association. When you hear about cars being stolen, you probably think it happens every day. Well, it does. And more, it happens every minute. Car theft is now America's number one crime against property. And it could happen to you. NADA and your new car dealer recommend an easy way to protect your car from theft. When you leave it, lock it. Wherever you are this Sunday afternoon, lock in with Monitor. I'm Barry Nelson, and I'll be back shortly.
Ken Nordine, Color Radio, NBC Monitor, Weekend.